Oh, Chandra vidai bhila prabhu kari alingana. Mata vidai dila sava bhakta gana.
In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced Nityananda Prabhu and bade him farewell. He then bade farewell to all the other devotees. Kulina Grami Purva, sir. Kulina Grami Purva, Kalyane Vatana, Prabhuana Karamana. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulini Grama submitted a petition to the Lord saying, "My Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it." Prabhu Gaye Vaishnava Seva Nama Sanketana Dua Kali Sigra, Sigra, Pavik, Sri Krishna, Charana. The Lord replied, "You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter of Krishna's lotus feet." Deho Kai, Ke Vaishnava, Ki Tandra Lakshana, Abhyasikai Prabhu Jani Padramana. The inhabitants of Kulina Gram said, Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are." Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and gave the following reply. Krishna Nama Nilatara Yanara Badana Sai Vaishnava Sresta Vaja Tanara Charana. Translation: the person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name. whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee, or an ordinary person, should worship the Madhyam Bhagavata, who is a via medium. In his Upadeshamrita, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī Prabhu says, Pranātivischa bhajatam isham. This means that Madhyam Adhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word nirantara means without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means interval. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, in other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī says, Anyāvilasitāsanyam jñāna paramān jñānaktam anukulena krishnānu śīlanam bhakti-rūpam. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. That is first-class devotion. Another meaning of antara is the body. The body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, antara means money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means jinanta, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principle of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed. Greed to acquire money or to enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic ideas, by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the Supreme Personality of God in himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master an ordinary human being, Guru Shunaramati, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnava a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water, and the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being, for he is the origin of all Vishnu Tattvas. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual and the material causes and the material, intermingling the spiritual and the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and mundane as spiritual. This is all due to poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. In the Bhakti Shandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Naimakam yashava chishmanana patagatam yajatu deha rinani nimitta shanda shatena cha dasa aparada lakshante shadharma yavatesham. The Maya body is looked on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge. And this is condemned. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishvare tad adineshu balisheshu vishashu cha prema matri krigopeksha yakaro visamati. Madhyama. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotees, instruct the innocent, and reject jealous people. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 2264, Sri Sanatana Goswami taught, Shadavan Jnana Haya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhyam Kanishta Shada Anushari. One who is faithful is a proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith in devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. Shastra Yukti Nahi Jana Dhrita Shadhavan Madhya Adhikari Semahi Bhagavan Bhagavan. One who has attained intermediate stage is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated in the intermediate stage. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love for God distinguishes the different stages of devotion. Neophyte, intermediate, and perfectional. Madhya Lila 2271. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted by chanting the holy name. And by chanting, he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus, the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophytes and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotees or motivated devotee. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform and they are called Prakriti. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform. Actually, none of them are mundane. Om Agyanata Marandasya Jnana Jnana Salakaya Chakshurum Milatamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shakitam Yenam Gutkale Swayam Rupakaravamayam Tadaki Swamatantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Ganada Shivasri Gaurabhaktarinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. A person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first-class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada mentions, says that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to obtain the second platform of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte. So Krishna consciousness is also can be measured. In this world, we have to measure everything, isn't it? Everything has to be measured because nothing is obvious. So we should also measure our Krishna consciousness very, very carefully. When you are in disease condition, you have to measure your improvement every day. Because the disease is powerful and the cure has to be measured. So you're always looking for some signs of improvement. You're always looking very sharply. It's a good example. Because any little sign of improvement, then there's hope. So similarly, with our Krishna consciousness, if we are very eager for Krishna consciousness, then we will be very careful to measure everything. Very carefully. So one may ask, how can I measure? How can I measure my Krishna consciousness? And it's very simple. The actual simplest thing is how much one has a taste for chanting Hare Krishna. If you have no taste for chanting, then you are still in the platform of anatta. Anatta means what is called offensive mentality. This anatta, actually, the body itself is an anatta. Let that be clear. The body is an anatta. Many of us, we like our body, isn't it? If one thing was precious to you, it must be your body. So the body is always dictating so many things. Huh? The body is always dictating. It wants this, it wants that, it wants to be allowed to do this, be allowed to do that. And these are pushing. They are the pushings. Vacha vega, manasa krodha vega. These vegam. Vegam means pushing. So, actually the body itself is an anatta. And everything relating to the body is an anatta. Every single thing relating to the body is an anatta. Anatta means unwanted. Unwanted. In the material world we have picked up so many unwanted things. Actually we think they're wanted, but they're unwanted. That is the power of Maya. Maya means not, Nya means this. So we have picked up not this. We picked up the wrong thing. Because we picked up some pieces of skin and bone. Isn't it? What have we really picked up here? What have we collected? Some tubes, some pipes, muscles, a few strange molecules floating around. Doing all sorts of damage inside us. Little parasites. What have we picked up? So we picked up so many things. And Maya is so strong, we believe that those things are very important. They become artha. Artha means that which is needed, that which is desired, that which is wanted. So, in the material world, everyone is collecting something. That's for sure. If you look from the highest planets to the lowest, down to the tiny germ, everyone's collecting something. Isn't it? Prabhupada said, as soon as the bird wakes up in the morning, where is food? Where is food? And when we also wake up, where is my toothbrush? Where is this? Where is my towel? Where is my soap? Where is this? Where is this? So, always we are trying to get something in this material world. Because everything here is actually, requires some effort, some endeavor. Whatever we want to collect in this world, we have to make some endeavor. And that endeavor actually is what occupies our time. We find that people are very, very busy. Everyone's very busy, busy, busy. Prabhupada gave a very nice example. He said, wherever I've gone in the world, he said, all I hear is this these cars going past. He said, doesn't matter where you go, whether you go New York, London, Calcutta, you get that noise. Not exactly like that. You get that noise. Everyone is chasing. As soon as you come on the motorway at 6 in the morning, people are running, isn't it? To get something. Now, the thing is that that thing which we're trying to get obviously has some importance to us. And this is the real criteria that we generally find that the importance of something is how dear it is to us. Like they say, money, money sweeter than honey, isn't it? People love money. When you get it in your hand, you feel power, you feel good. Now you can do what you want. You don't have to listen to anyone. You can buy what you want, when you want, how you want, where you want. And we find that generally this accumulation, this hunger, this greed is very powerful in the material world. So for a devotee, that same greed is there. The devotee is also very greedy. Lord Chaitanya was a very greedy person. Did you know that? He was so greedy that he went mad. Now, he was considered mad. If you study Lord Chaitanya's life, isn't it? He was considered mad. So if you become too greedy, you become insane. You find sometimes when people become too mad after something, they become like insane. Have you seen that? Isn't it? Type of insanity. So, there's many people who have insanity in this world. Actually, to be honest with you, keep it secret, but everyone's mad. There's not one sane person on the planet. Because we are mad after useless things. Cars, houses, washing machines, husbands, wives. We are mad after what? We are mad after those things which bring us only temporary pleasure. They don't bring us anything real. You see? We are just like annoying our senses in the material world. We're just annoying them. We're not giving any satisfaction. Prabhupada said, just like a person goes to the desert and searches water. Imagine if you're thirsty, you went to the Sahara with your little bottle of water. Huh? What are you going to get there? Some cactus. Squeeze it out. Squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. Chew and chew. So in the material world, we have come here for sense gratification. And we are simply chewing on the chew, just to get a little bit more, a little bit. It's like scratching. When you scratch, you don't want to stop because the pleasure is there. So carry on until you're bleeding, isn't it? If anyone's ever had eczema, you scratch until you bleed. Because it's not the scratching that's giving you, it's the feeling, this feeling. So, if we have feeling for Krishna, then we can chant Hare Krishna. They say this feeling has to be there. Without feeling, simply chanting, then you don't have any feeling. Then it is like Bhaktivinoda said, it's like a pigeon living in the temple. He also lives in the temple, pigeons. See, but he's not getting any benefit. Or the fish that lives in the Ganga. You see, the fish is living in Ganga. What's the benefit? You understand? So similarly, we are in the transcendental world. Prabhupada said these temples are Vaikuntha. They're not ordinary place. Don't take it lightly. These devotees are not ordinary. You may look at devotees as ordinary. Just as you look at prasadam as ordinary. We look at everything as ordinary because we're ordinary. You see? That's the unfortunate thing. Because we're material, we see everything as material. We don't see this Krishna consciousness as material. Because unfortunately, then you will miss the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So this Krishna consciousness is completely transcendental. There are no material designations. It is not a material arrangement. Goloka Premanam. You say Goloka Premanam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has come down from Goloka. So he has come down from Goloka and he has brought with him Premanam. He has brought with him love. So, Lord Chaitanya transformed the material into spiritual because he is the cause. Matter is the effect. Matter is not the cause, it is the effect. He is the cause. So one who is the cause, he can change things. Just like when there is a electrician, he can make fire into fridge, isn't it? Because he's the cause. You see, electricity might be the energy, but the engineer is the cause of the effect of the electricity. So normally electricity is hot, but he can make it into freezer by his expertise. And similarly, he can turn electricity into heat. So in the same way, Krishna can transform matter into spirit. That which appears to be material. We have many examples of material, because material is something which we are completely immersed in. But we don't have any examples of spiritual. You see, we have no example of it. So we can't measure. We can't measure spirit. You can't say, oh, today I ate that much spirit. You see? You can't measure. In the material world, there is no spirit. It doesn't exist here in observable quantity. You see? But does that mean that spiritual doesn't exist? This is the question we must ask ourselves. Does it mean that spirit doesn't exist? No, because we can understand, even by our own intelligence, we can understand that spiritual has qualities, and that quality is the living force. The living force is spiritual, because when that living force leaves the material becomes dead. So similarly, we can understand that the living force behind everything is spiritual. So, therefore, that living force is also observed that what is the nature of living force? The nature of living force is that it is anandamoya vyasa, anandamoya vyasa. The nature of anything living is pleasure. So, pleasure is the real thing which everybody wants. That is the real thing that we are hankering for. The real thing we are after is the thing we live for 24 hours a day. We are always after pleasure. We cannot be separated from pleasure. It's completely artificial to separate yourself from pleasure. So if you understand that you have a natural magnetic attraction to pleasure, then there must be one question. Where does misery come from? Isn't it? Where does misery come from? So you must study, because that's the thing which is causing you misery, is misery, isn't it? So, it's not so, what do you call it? You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what's causing you misery. And you know what's causing you the most misery? Is you. The greatest misery in your life is yourself. People want to blame misery on so many things. Isn't it? They want to blame misery because the prasadam wasn't on time, or they didn't get enough money to do the laundry, or they missed this or that, or they want to blame misery. We find billions of things to blame misery on. But we never actually blame misery on ourselves. When I say ourselves, the misery is because we're connected to misery through the body. We're connected to misery through the body. All of our experiences of the miseries are through the body. The body actually doesn't give any happy experience. It doesn't give any happy experience. Because the body is just made up of a combination of mechanisms. It's a machine. Just like when you get in your car doesn't give you a happy experience. Isn't it? You couldn't say, ooh, the steering wheel made me really happy just now. Or the wheels, ooh, they really did something to me. You see? So if you study like that, you'll find that it's not the mechanism that makes you happy. So it must be something else which is making you happy. And then you find out that a lot of people think it's the mind. They think the mind's making them happy. So therefore, the mind is peaceful. If I've got a nice amount of money in my bank account, and I've got a nice family, a wife, a nice car, a fridge, and a new washing, whatever. So many things are there to satisfy the mind. But the mind is never satisfied. That's the problem with the mind. The body could be satisfied. You could satisfy the body because, like your stomach, there's only so much you can put in the stomach. You can't put any more in, right? But it's unlimited to go in the mind. You see? You can fill the stomach with this much food, but you can never fill the mind. Because the mind is another, more powerful energy. The mind is never satisfied. That which is never satisfied. It can never be satisfied. Even though you've spent billions of births trying to satisfy the mind, you've never done it. You've never done it. And you never will do it. Because it has an insatiable. Because Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the mind is completely controlled by energy. What is that energy? Karma. It's karma. This karma is the greatest enemy of the soul. Karma means, of course, lust. But the word lust always gives us an idea of very sort of greedy activity. No, lust is attachment. It's attachment. Everything is based on attachment. Any attachment you have is lust. You can say that, you know, being with your family is not lusty, is it? You can't say a man being with his family is lusty, but it is attachment. You see? So any little attachment we have, any attachment whatsoever, is very important that if it's related with the mind, then you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Because that is called anatta. That which is not wanted. You see? That which is not wanted. So therefore, we have to understand artha. Artha means that which is wanted, that which is needed. That actually which gives benefit. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya could understand that in Kali Yuga, nobody has any brains. And he said, nobody has any brains. So it's no good speaking lots and lots of philosophy, because people have mandasamana. They're lazy, they're unintelligent, they're always disturbed, and they're dull. You can see people have become very dull, and they're becoming more dull all the time. So philosophy is not very good in this age. And then the other alternative is to kill them. You see, if someone, just like a criminal, if you can't reform them, so if you have a criminal and you can't reform him, or there's not much, he's too far gone, then the best thing is to kill him. So similarly, in Kali Yuga, everyone is extremely attached, because everyone is very much degraded in this age on account of too much emphasis on the body, too much emphasis on materialism and the mind. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, because he's God and because he's very powerful, he thought, what shall I bring? I have to bring something that will save these people, that will bring these living entities back to God. So he brought prema. Prema. Because prema is the, obviously, the most powerful thing in the universe is prema. You see, prema doesn't exist in matter. There's no prema in matter. What we call love is just a bogus. There's no love here. People want to love. There's so many. Love your brother, embrace him. Be good to each other. Be nice. Smile. There's so many. All of the laws that govern society are just to try and make us nice to each other. That's how little love there is, when you've got to have millions of books telling you how to behave. What we call laws, everyone's very proud of laws. But why do we have laws? Because we're such savages that if we didn't, we couldn't even live together. So it's not, one should not be proud of so-called modern society and all its laws, because if you had to, just like in a family, there's no laws, is there? You don't get up in the morning, father says, yes, according to the Fifth Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, you did at this time do this to your brother. So we have laws because we can't even live together. We're so devoid of love. We're so devoid of prema. So prema doesn't exist in the material world. Just like that water doesn't exist in the desert. You might get a little bit out of the cactus, because there's always a few things which can hold on to the water in the desert. Even in the desert, a few things that hold on to it. Similarly, in the material world, you might find a few things that give you a little bit of pleasure, but you'll find nothing that will give you prema. Nothing. There's no source here. There's no source. You see? There's no source. Because prema can only come from God. You see? Can only come from God. He's the only one who can give prema. Just like the sun is the only one who can give sunshine. Nobody else can give sunshine. There may be so many planets in the universe, but only the sun can give sunshine. Because the sun is powerful, you see? The sun is powerful. So Lord Chaitanya, there's no one more powerful than Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya instructed us, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Yuga Kevalam, Kalo Nashteva, 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 Katyananda. That in this Kali Yuga, there is no other way. No other way. No, three times mentioned. Not by karma, not by your jnana, not by all of your so-called mystical or philosophical pursuits. No. None of these things in this age are operable, because people are not qualified. You see? People are not qualified. They're not qualified for doing karma kanda, they're not qualified for jnana kanda, they're not qualified even for... Most people are qualified for watching television. That's our exclusive qualification in this age. were good at buying takeaways and watching television. So unfortunately, this situation is so. So Lord Chaitanya has very kindly brought this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So he has brought this Harinam, and in that Harinam, the whole spiritual world is there. The whole spiritual world is not a material thing. So when we hear that, we get a big bogum. The whole spiritual world is there. How does it fit in? Is it the Hari that goes in there? Another bit in the Krishna? You see, we try to measure the holy name. Unfortunately, there's no need. The holy name doesn't require your measurement. You don't need to bring your candle to light up the sun. You see, sometimes you might think the sun's having a difficult job in England. So maybe I should stand out there with my candle, give it some help. You see? So we always try to measure the holy name or Krishna consciousness by our mundane reference. But we should never do that. We should never do that. The holy name only requires surrender. Nothing else. That's why we put our hands up. We surrender. I finished. We're saying to Krishna, I finished, Krishna. No more. Stop my speculating. I've stopped my doubting. I've stopped my anathas. So that's why we should always have plenty of Harinam. In the early days when Prabhupada introduced Krishna consciousness, we used to go out 8 hours a day. 8 hours. And I can tell you frankly, you couldn't. It was a stampede to go out. It was very austere in the sense that we didn't have any, even in those days, well, when I first went out, we didn't even have proper dhotis. We used to buy curtain nylon. Because it was bright orange. And we loved the idea of having this bright orange. So we used to, because we didn't have any money, I went to one Indian shop and bought a whole boat of the 100,000% synthetic nylon. And it was bright orange. So we looked great for about 2 days. Until I put it in the washing machine. And it turned to electricity. I couldn't even get out of the dryer. It was so dry. So I remember when we were in Harinam, this stuff was so electronic, it used to climb up your leg. So on top of all the other anxiety of going up and down Oxford Street in the rain and the snow and everything else, we had these terrible jokers. So we always longed for something to come from India. But we went out every day on Oxford Street, and we went the full length, all the way once and all the way back. Sometimes down Regent Street, every day. I don't remember a day, even when it was pouring rain, we used to try and hide on these, we'd stand on these things. And I met a woman, I met her down in Africa, and she was a Muslim. And I was quite shocked because it was a Muslim airline. It was like here, Gulf Air or something. And she was a real, you know, she had the headdress on, and a real Muslim, chaste lady. And when she saw me, she really lit up. And she said, when I was a young hostess, she said, at 72, she said, I used to come to Oxford Street. And she said, you know, I used to follow you people for nearly 2 hours. And I was so shocked. I said, really? She said, I was so fascinated. Because she said, you look so happy. She said, I never saw anything like it. Such people could be happy, even when it was raining and miserable. She said, I used to just, as I was shopping, I would just walk along with you and watch. So, don't underestimate the Sankirtan movement. Don't neglect it. Don't think that you've got a better idea than God. Don't be so clever. You see, sometimes, just like again, my experience, I'm not a doctor. And because I have a disease, I have to listen all the time. And I have to accept hope. If I have to take this green thing or the other thing or whatever. But the point is that don't think that we know better than Krishna. So, therefore, it is a question of Shraddha, faith. Krishna consciousness is dependent on only one currency. You see, it's not a very difficult thing to capture. It depends on Shraddha. That Shraddha, faith must be there. Just have faith. After all, everything else you try has failed. That's why you're here. If you succeeded, you wouldn't be here. You see? Anyone who joins a religion is a failure. Just like anyone who goes to a restaurant is hungry. You're not in a religion because you're a success story. You're in a religion because you're a failure. And so therefore, when do you give up? You see, you're here and still you can't accept because you've got to, well, let me just try one other time. So many times we find devotees, they're suffering in the material world and they become devotees. And for the first months, they're jumping up and down, hurry now, Kija, let's go. They're the ones who always get in the van, isn't it? You never see the old timers. You always see the young, sparkly, 6-month-olders. They're out there on Oxford Street, still. And the reason is because they're accepting the process. They have strong faith. In the beginning, you'll find that you have actually a lot of faith. That's why you join. You join a very strong faith. And generally, we come because of some misery. We join. Most people come to religion because they're suffering in some way. It could be suffering because of ignorance. It could be suffering because of family breakup. Financial breakup, whatever. Some deficiency is there, so they come. And then, one of the great dangers of spiritual life is, Prabhupada said once in the class, he said, the great danger of the mode of goodness is it makes you complacent. You see? See, passion is suffering, and ignorance is death. But goodness makes us complacent. Because we got what we came for. Which is happiness. You see, we were suffering, then we got rid of our suffering. I don't need to go on Harinam anymore. I was wondering why I was going out there every day. You see? So in the beginning, we're suffering, so we're ready to take the medicine. You see? Just like I'm suffering now, so I'll take the medicine. What is it? You give me. When do you want? 8 times a day? You see? But when the disease is gone, oh, the burden's over. I don't have to do that anymore. So we should be very careful not to put on a material estimation on this Krishna consciousness. Don't make it material. It's not a material thing. It's not there for relieving your suffering. You haven't come here to make Krishna your servant, you see. You haven't come here to pick Krishna's pockets, you see. So therefore, the real chanting is service. That's why it says here that the neophyte chants for his own benefit. But the madhyam chants for others' benefit. So this is a very important point, that when one becomes more advanced, he wants to give the holy name. You see? He wants to give it to everyone. Because he becomes a servant of the holy name. His heart becomes actually, the holy name reveals itself, that this is God, and I want to give God to people. When you give someone the holy name, you're putting it straight, you're putting Krishna straight into their heart. What could be a nicer thing? Could you think of a better thing than putting Radha Gokulananda in someone's heart? Into a meat eater's heart? I remember when we went on one of our Hari Nams, a butcher came out, he was a big lump of meat, and he threw it straight at me, right on my head. And I was thinking, because in those days we were just really a weird cult. People thought we didn't know what them was. So we used to get the odd person throwing eggs at us and different things. I remember one time an egg was coming and just dipped and hit someone else. Walking past. So we used to get the odd experience. We used to go around. As a matter of fact, we had a van and we traveled around in that van everywhere on Harinam. No, we didn't have books in those days. The BTGs, we used to put them together ourselves from zero machine. We used to have a machine going all the time. And then we'd staple them together. That'd be our book distribution. So Harinam was everything. So we went out in Harinam, Harinam. And so the... I lost my track now. What was I saying?
Giving Krishna consciousness.
Oh, yeah. So I was thinking with that butcher, we stopped outside just to annoy him a little bit more. We honestly felt that we were giving him Krishna. We were giving Krishna. Giving Krishna. We'd become servant of the holy name. Otherwise, you see, if you sit in your bhajana kutya, you'll also enjoy the name. Because the name is Krishna. But you won't get the real taste. You see, the real higher taste is serving. Of course, if you're on Uttama, that's a different thing. But on the neophyte platform, it's not recommended to hide and cover chanting. It's very much recommended to take the holy name out and serve. So therefore, one who is spirited in neophyte, as a neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and take pleasures in. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyam. So, we see how this Harinam is so blissful. Everyone becomes happy. Everyone becomes happy. And I will tell you frankly, and my observation over many, many, many years, all of our good feelings, most of the people because of Harinam. If you talk about the Hare Krishna movement, you talk about Harinam Sankirtan. So we should very much be careful not to let Harinam become something which we do only on a Saturday. We should try and make it all the time because it will benefit us and it will benefit everyone we meet. Sorry, I went on too long. Dad.
You can go as long as you like.
So, actually I was going to say something, a little personal, but I actually gave the first class of Bhaktivedanta Manu in 73. And I was thinking today that, well, I hope it's not my last class. But, it's so nice to be sitting here with all the Vaishnavas. And when you are separated from the devotees for whatever reason, you realize how precious association with the devotees is. And this point that the devotees are not material is very important. Don't see the devotees as material. Don't see... Just like you don't see the deities as material, don't see the devotees as material. They're not material. No one is material, actually. Everything is spiritual. There's no material. Because anything which is material is dead. Isn't it? So, the spiritual is the living thing. The living thing is life. And we are life. So we associate with life. But even on a more important level is that because the life force is connected with Krishna, it's completely spiritual. The devotees are connected with Krishna, so they're just like the plug in a wall. They are completely generating electricity. They're no longer a plug. You see, if you have a plug, it's just a piece of plastic. But when it's in the wall, you won't put your finger in it because you get more than plastic. You see? So you may say, that's a plug, and someone else may say, no, that's electricity. So the argument is, no, it's a plug. No, it's electricity. Which is it? The more powerful thing is electricity. So similarly, we may have material bodies, but because we're serving Krishna, we're spiritual, we're electricity. And therefore, one should not see the bodies as material, because Krishna doesn't. You see? So be very careful against committing offenses against devotees, because you may see another devotee as material, but Krishna doesn't. And that devotee is very dear to Krishna. So we should always be very careful. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya's instruction is also very wonderful, because he said, you should always engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna. And he's been asked a very important question by a devotee. My Lord, kindly tell me, what is my duty and how should I execute it? So the whole duty, the most important thing Lord Chaitanya mentions, is serving devotees. So that means Lord Chaitanya sees that as the highest priority. You see? So therefore, if that's what pleases Krishna the most, then that's the thing we should be doing the most. Although, it seems like the most difficult thing to do, you see, because generally we're so impersonal. Our nature is impersonal. So to be personal is the last on our list. You see, generally we can deal with everything. We can deal with each other in offices and meetings, and we can have emails to each other, and we can do lots of things. But to be personal to each other, to love each other, is very difficult. Because the material enviousness of the mind is very strong. The nature of the mind is envy. So therefore, the more advanced you're becoming in Krishna consciousness, then envy will come. So therefore, your heart will open up. It will open up like a flower, you see. So therefore, if you're finding yourself difficult to relate to devotees, in a humble mood, in a proper mood, in a service mood, then that means that this envy is still there in the heart and has to be removed. So that's why devotees, we don't compete with each other, try to outdo each other, try to be better than each other, try to be more so-called prestigious than each other. This is why spiritual life is a unique thing. A unique thing. And unfortunately, it's very difficult. And that's why devotees should always be the example. And that's why we pay obeisances to each other, Prabhu. We always call each other Prabhu. When I was in Prabhupada's room, he called me Prabhu. I was surprised. Here's my spiritual master calling me Prabhu. He said, Tribhuvana Prabhu. Now, how can Prabhupada see me as Prabhu? I don't know. But the word, Prabhupada didn't use words. So the point is that if Prabhupada can call me Prabhu, and you can't, there's something wrong. You understand? I'm just making the point. In other words, if it's good enough for Prabhupada, it's not good enough for us. So the point is, Prabhupada was always very, very humble to Vaishnavas. Is because he didn't see them as material. He saw them as Krishna, Krishna's energy. So therefore we should try to actually serve each other, and from that service love will come. From service love comes. Isn't it? First thing you do when you meet a woman, you give her some service. Huh? If you're not serviceable, you're not going to get very up in the queue. If there's a beautiful woman, the first thing you have to do is give some good service. And the quality of your service is what attracts her. You see? That's why when the queen was getting married, the princes had to show their serviceable qualities. Could they fight? You see, Kshatriya. So she wanted to see, let's see you all fight. They kill each other. Okay. This one survived. He can render me nice service. The other ones were useless. So, by our service, we attract. So therefore, I'll finish up with one example. There was one monastery, and it wasn't functioning very well. People weren't coming. There was a lot of arguing and quarreling going on. So what happened was that this abbot, he wanted some advice, so he went up into the see one hermit living up in the caves. And he asked him advice. He said, could you please advise me? The monastery is falling to pieces. And everyone's quarreling with each other, and there's competition and this and that. So the hermit looked at him and he said, did you not know that in your monastery, one of your monks is the new Messiah? So the abbot was amazed. He said, do? He said, yes. He said, you have a very powerful saint amongst them, those monks, and he's considered like a Messiah. So the abbot became completely, because he had so much respect for this hermit. So he went back and he told all the monks. He said, the hermit has told me that someone here is the next Messiah. Very powerful. So then after that, as the monks were going around, someone was thinking, maybe brother with him. Maybe he's the next Messiah. So he became very careful. Someone thought, maybe it's brother Peter. Or brother Bernard. So after a while, everyone was serving each other. Because nobody wanted to offend the Messiah. So there became a whole consciousness change. So the example is that. It's simply a change of consciousness. If your consciousness is wrong, the whole place is wrong. If the consciousness is to serve, then service is the quality by which the Vaishnava lives. You see, we live by service. The materialist lives by competition, competitive mentality. The Vaishnava is opposite because he's spiritual. And what is the quality of the spiritual world? Is the lowest. One becomes lower, the lowest of the lowest. So it's very easily attainable. To be the most advanced devotee in the world is to become the lowest. So where's the problem? It's not that you have to become a big this and a big that. That's not really what signifies a devotee. It's one who thinks he's the lowest. He's the devotee. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is very simple. Prabhupada said, it's so simple, you will miss it. Because it's so simple that if you look at the example of all the Vaishnavas, you'll find they all consider themselves the lowest. Vasudeva Datta used to have worms eating his exit. And when one would fall out, he would put him back in because he couldn't bear the idea of depriving him of his dinner. Another? That's humble. I mean, we go, ah. Oh, Hare Krishna. Okay, so we'll finish here. And I just like to say, obviously, that I'm going away for a little while and I hope I'll be back. Krishna was, I don't know when, but I'd like to really take this opportunity to, from the bottom of my heart, to thank the devotees for all their kindness and all their actually overwhelming love. And in that sense, it made me realize that actually how really loving devotees are, and how hard-hearted I am, but I'm hoping that I can tell you frankly, that any effort I make, now I think I speak from the heart, that any effort I make to get better, they will be so concerned with the others. That's all. That's the thing that will spur me on. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.